I'm Vicky Merrick. The local food report's up now with Elspeth Hay. And this time, East Ham asparagus season in the early 1900s.
Back in the 1980s, the East Ham Historical Society started an oral history project. Interviewers recorded dozens of old-timers, people who had been in town since the early 1900s. In almost every single interview, the people from East Ham mention asparagus. Asparagus was a big industry in town in the 1920s and 1930s. For this week's piece, I've woven together local voices from those tapes to tell the story of asparagus season during that time.
There was an awful lot of asparagus. Oh, the place was covered with asparagus.
Craig and Bartlett, like so many of the voices on these tapes, remembers acres and acres of asparagus. There were very few trees in East Ham in the early 1900s. Almost all the land had been cleared for agriculture or building materials or firewood. Arthur Benner's father had 12 acres. He grew asparagus from seed to sell to other farmers as two-year-old plants, also known as crowns.
As a kid, that was the most disagreeable thing in the world to work on, because they were delicate things, and they were planted as you would plant seed, like turnip seed in a plant. And they would come up very delicate little things, and they had to be hand-weeded and so forth on your hands and knees would get sore, your hands would get sore, and the net flies would be thick, and you would be like to be anywhere but there.
When the plants were 2 years old, Arthur Benner's father would dig them up and sell them to other farms. Benner says his dad made more money with the asparagus seedlings than he ever did with cutting beds. Of course, to grow well, the asparagus needed to be fertilized. Isabel Brackett's family ran the general store.
People in those days depended on their asparagus and their turnip crop. They would place their order for fertilizer with my father-in-law in the fall for their turnips and asparagus. When the fertilizer came, they would say, "Now when we sell our crop, we will pay the bill." They used to call it, "I'll carry him through the winter."
In case that was hard to hear, she says they used to call it, "I'll carry him through the winter." Isabel Brackett never worked in her father-in-law's store. She had kids and a household to take care of. But she says everyone helped out in the fields during asparagus season.
The ladies used to bunch asparagus, and my Aunt Martha worked bunching asparagus. And she used to say, "Well, I'm going to start bunching grass pretty soon, so I won't be able to do this or that or the other thing." And I said, "Well, what do you mean, bunch grass?" "Well, the asparagus, they have to cut the asparagus, and we bunch it, and we get paid so much for bunching grass." So I said, "Well, maybe I could do that." So I took my children with me, and I learned to bunch grass, and I got paid for it.
John Allman also worked in the asparagus fields from about 1913 to 1920.
I bunched asparagus as a kid, saving the culls and the crooks and so on, which I put in a separate basket, and that was my pay. Mm-hmm. And all through the asparagus season, asparagus cooked in milk and butter was pretty apt to be a major meal in our house.
Ullman was a summer resident, like Esther Handel.
In asparagus season, neighbors picked and bunched asparagus, and they had to be over there at the railroad station at 4:30 to catch the train with the stuff on.
The asparagus was shipped to Boston, first on the train and in later years on trucks. But after the Depression, Isabel Brackett says the asparagus industry started to decline.
They couldn't pay for the fertilizer to put on the asparagus. There was just no money, and oh, it was such a depressing time.
The transcripts say there's a second side to this tape, but I can't find the audio. Isabel Brackett goes on to say that the Depression was the beginning of the end for the asparagus industry in East Ham. Places like Florida started growing asparagus and shipping it north in refrigerated trucks, which were unheard of before. When our asparagus was ready, she says, people had already had all the asparagus they wanted from Florida. In the interview with John Ullman, the interviewer, Don Sparrow, jumps in at the end. He must be about the same age, because the two men share a final memory before the tape ends.
My mother saved the tips, the broken tips. Of course, yeah. You can't sell them. So that was our evening meal.
Yeah.
Asparagus tips, yeah. On toast and every cream.
On toast, yes. Oh, yes, indeed. And it's gone now. It's all gone.
Not quite all of it. If you drive around East Ham today, you can still find little patches of once cultivated asparagus gone wild, hiding in plain sight on the side of the road. And if you close your eyes, you can almost imagine the town as it once was this time of year. People of every age out in the fields, cutting those first green spears from a treeless soil. For WCAI's Local Food Report, I'm Elspeth Hay.
A big thank you to the East Ham Historical Society for granting Elspeth permission to use this audio. This local food report was edited by me, Vicki Merrick, and produced by Atlantic Public Media with a lot of help from Jay Allison. Thanks for listening.